Welcome to Today's Voices, a daily digest from Native America Calling. I'm your host, Andy Murphy. A book about colonial food influences on Native health, a notable fry bread stand, and a Native store in Minneapolis becomes a mutual aid station during the immigration crackdown. Those are the topics we explore on the menu. To start is Choctaw researcher Dr. Casey Jernigan. She is an assistant professor of American Studies and Anthropology at the University of Virginia. She is also the author of the book Kamad Bots, Embodied Heritage, Foodways, and Indigeneity. She interviewed dozens of other women over a period of years about food and their relationships to it. She says commodity foods, the federal government's low-income supplemental assistance for Native Americans, became a key factor in not only Native women's health, but their identity as well.
These weren't just emergency rations. They became long-term food infrastructures that replaced our local land-based foodways and replaced them with processed, shelf-stable government foods that have been traditionally high in fat and sugar and salt. And so over generations, those foods have really shaped taste and diet and our health. And so when we talk about obesity and diabetes in our communities, we cannot separate those outcomes from the federal food systems that have structured what people can access and afford to eat.
Jernigan says what's now known as commodity foods is a window into the forces unique to Native Americans, land loss, forced poverty, and historical trauma that influence the outside perceptions of Native people and how they see themselves. In Minneapolis, one woman's retail business became a source of aid and comfort for people targeted during the city's immigration crackdown. Marique Moss is the owner of Meshkiki Studios. She is also an author and a cultural educator. She's Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara, and Dakota. She says the fear and anxiety caused by federal ICE crackdowns was a call for people like her to step up and try to make a difference.
Because we are a BIPOC business, we like to sort of match those cultural items. So a lot of what we get in are avocados, our tortillas, those delicious little, they have like tahini on them. They're like lollipops. They're so good. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of those Hispanic foods and like mercados, we've been getting a lot of donations toward those to make sure that their households feel seen and comforted. Products that you would use in your households, like in my household, I would love a big turkey neck to make red beans and rice, right? So if somebody could think of me when I was like in COVID or something, like making my comfort foods, making a big baked mac and cheese, right? Just something that says you're home, you're safe, you're seen, and people are thinking about you.
Moss says her storefront is an area with many small businesses owned by immigrants from a variety of countries that became targets by federal agents. In Arizona, Michael Washington is the co-owner of a tiny roadside eatery on the Salt River Pima-Maricopa Indian community. Known as The Stand, it specializes in fry bread. The Stand was just recognized by USA Today as one of the 2026 restaurants of the year.
We're just this little tiny stand on the side of the road, and we got this really big award. This summer will be 22 years that we've been open. My crew is my sister-in-law and her husband and their daughters. And then I got other, nephews and nieces that will jump in. And then on my side, sometimes I got a couple of nephews, grandchildren that jump in and they help me. I wouldn't have been able to get this far without them. They're the guys that are setting up the stage, and then I just put everything together. We've had people from all over the world come in. Now that this award came out and all the publicity, we're getting a lot of people coming in, and it's good. I love it.
Washington says after more than two decades in business, he has no plans to change The Stand's approach. I'm Andy Murphy, and this is Today's Voices.